All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. There is a really cool series coming to Netflix on February 18th here, less than a week. It's a six-part series entitled Court of Gold, and we have the director with us, Jake Rogel, right now. This is the first time cameras had unprecedented access to Olympic basketball in the locker rooms, the practices, games all around the Olympic Village and everything else. We'll get to that in a second, but Jake, welcome to the show. I know you also worked on Last Dance. I'm sure when you were making that, you knew that that was going to be good. Did you have any idea how huge that thing was going to be, though?
First of all, thanks for having me on. Happy to be here. I don't think you think about that when you're making the show. You're just trying to make the best thing you possibly can. And once you release it, you just kind of cross your fingers and hope that people like it. But I didn't expect it to be as big as it was, and just grateful that it was. But yeah, that's not really something I'm thinking about when like we're in the process. It's just there's a lot going on.
Did you think, like, of all the things you shot and all the B-roll, all the things maybe that didn't make it, that when Jordan said, "And I took that personally," would become a huge meme?
No. One of the funnest parts of that whole process was seeing what people latched onto and what became a meme or a GIF or, you know, what people wrote about, because I hadn't worked on a project that caught on like that ever. And so I'd never seen social media interact with something that I'd worked on. So, no, that was one of the fun parts was, you know, when that happened in the edit, we liked it, but I didn't know that people would attach themselves to it like they did.
No doubt. All right. So probably based on what you did there, you got green lighted to do this. How are you going about it? Was there a plan of attack where you're like, look, people watch the games, let's do mostly off the court stuff, or maybe we need, and I'm sure you had a relationship with Steve Kerr after working with him on Last Dance. Like, how did you sort of approach the whole thing?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was so, there's so many different avenues you could go down, but as a sports fan, personally, the things that you want to see are, you want to see access, and you also want to show people a different angle of something they've already seen. So you kind of go in thinking, all right, like the access is going to make this thing what it is. And then you just let it unfold kind of naturally as it happens. One of the things that you want is authenticity, and you want that to come across. So you don't want players doing things that they wouldn't normally do. You just say, hey, do what you normally do and let us shoot that. And so you start with a ton of research, and the interesting storylines out of that research come out. And then you go up to the players that you think are interesting, and you tell them about the project and see what the reception is like. And if they're interested and they think it's a good idea and, you know, they're willing to give you some access, then you lean into those relationships and go from there. As far as Coach Kerr goes, Jason Hare was the director of The Last Dance, so he really interacted with Coach Kerr on The Last Dance much more than I did. I think there was a trust there with Coach Kerr knowing that I was a part of that process. But I never even brought that up when we talked, because this is a whole new experience since years later. But Coach Kerr is an unbelievably warm guy, and he's incredibly welcoming right away. So to have a coach like that as the head of Team USA or USAB, it's refreshing for the whole project.
I just think about how long the process is, because 7 months beforehand, they announced like 40 guys. And then in the spring, they named the 12. And then in the summer, they start a little training camp, and then less than a month later, it seems like they're in the Olympics, and four MVPs on that team. I mean, Steph, he had represented the USA before in FIBA events, but never in the Olympics, and of course, KD and LeBron, and you had Joel Embiid, who might have played for France if he felt like it. So we really, I don't think we have seen this kind of star power since that first 92 Dream Team. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree, and I think people are debating which team is better. But I think the reason you have that star power is because the game is so global and the competition is so strong. You now need that kind of star power to win. It used to be kind of the U.S. can show up and for the most part win the gold, no matter who they send. And now they're sending their best, and the best actually want to play to prove that the U.S. is still the best, because if you don't send your best, other teams can beat you. And even when we send our best, as you saw with the Serbian game and the gold medal game, it's still tight. And I think that's going to be the way it is going forward. So I'm not necessarily surprised all that star power went, but the fact that, you know, you're that close and you see how much it matters to them, I think that's always surprising to see.
Also, when there was an injury in Derek White, got added and people like Jaylen Brown and maybe Jalen Brunson, the Jalens, and people say, well, is this because I criticize Nike or do you... And basically, Derek White is a good defensive guard who can chip in with some threes. But I found it interesting that while it almost seemed like playing for the Olympic team was jury duty, people were really fighting to make this team for once.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the competitors that they are, they want to be a part of that. And also an Olympic experience. And it being in Paris, too. I mean, What an amazing city. So it's easy to convince your wife or your girlfriend or your kids to go with you. So I think the Paris appeal of it all was there. But I really think that you're going to see the best players coming from now on because of the competition and just how close it actually is. And I think that's appealing to them as basketball players to be a part of.
And then, just basically breezing through the whole thing, and that semifinal against Serbia, that got really dicey because, unfortunately, for these athletes, if you don't win the gold, I mean, it's the Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. We only will accept a gold, especially after Athens. So what was that Serbia game like when it kind of looked a little scary there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching these things with sort of three different masks on. One is you have a show that you need to make. Two is you're a sports fan and you're in awe of what's unfolding. And three is I'm an American. And, you know, I don't have a rooting interest because I'm trying to be professional and let the story unfold. But a little piece of me, of course, you know, I grew up watching these guys. And so as an American, I'm like, man, are they really not going to win gold? So I think you're fighting all three of those. Ultimately, you end up putting your professional hat on over the others. But there's a lot of nerves in that moment. And, like, you're trying to focus, but you can't help but kind of take a step back and realize what you're watching. So I think that the jubilation you saw from the players in the court was also felt in the arena by a lot of fans watching, too. It was relief and also kind of shock that the game unfolded the way that it did.
Well, they always say we need your stars to step up, and in that final, I mean, France is playing a home game, and we know about Wembanyama and Batum and Risache and all these guys that are, you know, great young talent. And I remember France got within like three late, and I'm like, oh, hell. And then, you know, being an Oakland guy, I love Steph Curry. Curry hit like four three-pointers in a row. Like every shot, I think he scored 24, and they were all three-pointers. And that was awesome for me that, you know, that he finally had his moment where I don't want to say he saved America, but he definitely stepped up when we needed him.
No doubt. I mean, when you look back at those Olympics in 20 years, Steph is what you'll think of. You have these great Olympic moments, which is like, you know, Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt and Kerry Strug and all the stuff. Steph is now in the same breath as those people with that Olympic moment, which is that gold medal game. The other thing that was cool about that moment is even French fans were cheering, not necessarily hoping he would make it, but respecting the fact that they just saw something incredible because they're fans of basketball. So it was one of those moments that, like, it just kind of transcended everything that was going on competition-wise. And people who were there and watching at home just can appreciate what a special moment looks like. And that certainly was one of the greatest Olympic moments and one of the best sports moments I can remember. Just because, you know, those moments are rare. And when you have a guy like Steph who people feel so personal with because he's created so many memories for them, it's just cool to see him get that on a global stage like that.
And what do you think, just on a personal side, about the next Olympics, because that whole team was old. I mean, outside of Anthony Edwards, maybe Tyrese Halliburton, I guess you could say Devin Booker is still relatively young, but I mean, I'd say three quarters of that team is not going to be in the next Olympics. I don't know, KD might insist on it at 38 or 39, whatever he'll be, but what do you think about the future of the way the USA is going to look?
Yeah, I'm just as curious as you are to see that. I think that it'll be the parity in the Olympics will forever be what we just saw, which is you don't necessarily know who's going to win. I think the U.S. still has the greatest talent pool to pull from, and new stars will emerge between now and Los Angeles. But when you look at France with Wemby, who's going to be even better than he is now, and he's already one of the best players in the world, and they have all those young French guys, and they know how to develop players now. And I just think every Olympics now is going to be competitive, and I don't think you'll ever see a team just kind of blow everybody out from now on. I think this kind of felt like a climax in a way because it was it felt like the end of U.S. domination, even though the U.S. won gold. And I feel like these three Hall of Famers playing together was like kind of a tip of the cap to like from 92 to now, this is how it was. And it's going to be different from here on out. So I'm excited. I'm just as excited as everyone else to see what's going to happen, because I do think it'll be kind of up for grabs.
That is interesting. I just got one more question for you. And definitely. Steve Kerr's staff, Tyronn Lue, Eric Spoelstra, those guys have won NBA titles as coaches. But he brought in Mark Few, and we're not averse to that in America. I mean, Coach K and Bobby Knight have coached the Olympic team. But what Mark Few has built in Spokane to make that little teeny school a national power is amazing. How did Mark Few fit in with the pros?
Yeah, he fit in like he's been with the pros his entire career. Mm. I think when you have a coach like Coach Few, who has sustained something great for a long period of time, that comes with a ton of emotional intelligence. And I think at the let you're dealing with the Olympic athletes, the emotional intelligence has to be at an all-time high with these coaches. And I think Coach Kerr surrounded himself with people who understand that, and they know how to talk to players, and they know how to feel when a player needs coaching and when he doesn't, and when he's tired and when he's not. And so I think Coach Few knows how to do that as good as anybody. And so I think that he applied what he knows about the college game emotionally to the pro game, and it played out well.
Well, if you're a hoop fan, you're a sports fan, you're an Olympics fan, you got to check out Court of Gold. 6 episodes going to be coming to Netflix on Tuesday, February 18th, and I will definitely be one of those people watching it. By director, our guest, Jake Rogel. Congratulations, Jake, and we look forward to checking this out.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me, and hope you guys enjoy it. So thank you again.